If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral. You.
The city needs saving.
What are we going to do with the time trip?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. Legends.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on RMD, Supergirl edition on Rain Man Digital. I'm sorry, an orangutan popped up on my screen covering our show notes.
You mean the don't let your animals become anonymous?
Is that what it is? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's some weird thing that our notes things are doing. It popped up on mine too.
So. Thanks, Google Docs. You're ruining our show. All right, so if you are listening from your desktop, remember you can find us mobily, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Just search DC on RMD. Find us there. Follow us. Leave us a review. All of that good stuff. So here we are. Here we are at the end of the season. Season finale of season 4 of Supergirl. Hopes were dashed. How much more wrong could we possibly be, like, overall?
Yeah.
There were a couple things, but, like, overall, my God.
Yeah, no, this was a very full ending.
And it's not one of those where I'm, like, happy I was wrong. You know, like, wow, that shocked me. What great television.
Yeah, pulled one over on me. I did not see this coming.
Yeah.
No. There was nothing shocking about this at all. It was, let's wrap everything up and be done with this season.
Yeah, boy. All right. That being said, let's get into it. This is Supergirl Season 4, Episode 22, The Quest for Peace, where Supergirl and Lex face off in the final battle. This week was directed by Jesse Warren. The story was by Robert Rovner and Jessica Queller. The teleplay was by Rob Wright and Derek Simon. So let's start off with Lex. Let's just get into that guy, I guess.
I was glad he was back.
Yeah. Samesies.
It was much more interesting starting off with him.
Right. How did you guys feel going into the beginning of the episode? Were you still hopeful? Did you still have like this childlike wonder and naivety about you, thinking that maybe this would go the way you want?
I can say I was just entertained with him shooting people down while singing in the Lexo Zoo.
That's always lovely.
I kind of liked the way they were explaining the story from his view.
Yeah, totally.
But it felt disjointed at times for me. Like, I feel like they should have two-parted this and maybe edited the two episodes together in different ways.
Yeah. I'm just glad that we got any sort of, outlook on what was going on while all of Supergirl's stuff was going on. She was over, you know, dealing with Red Daughter and stuff. And, it last episode, it was like we blinked and then all of a sudden Lex's plan had gone into effect and happened and it was done, which was kind of weird and disjointed in itself. Like, it felt really sudden, really, like, jarring and out of nowhere. And so this week, I was glad to at least have gotten insight into what he was doing and what was happening with that. And actually, visually seeing Red Daughter realize, you betrayed me. You betrayed Krasnia.
But again, I just think if it was edited different.
Totally.
And you saw that Lex was the one pushing her. Like, why did she go to the home? And then I almost felt like some of this episode was wasted in like this weird recap mode.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It should have been a part of last episode, honestly.
Because
I think so too.
Have you ever fallen asleep during a movie or something and went back and watched it and you're just like, oh shit, that happened?
Oh, weird.
I was having those moments.
Oh, that's why that happened.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, glad they did that. Or previously on Supergirl.
Right, right.
Like sending her to go find her mom, you know, scenarios.
Yeah. I did like the fight with Supergirl, though. I liked how that went down. I appreciated his little like crypto bracers. I don't know, like whatever those were, infused with kryptonite, little arm blaster guys or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had some cool tech and I really enjoyed the way that they kind of evened the playing field through most of it.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the things we wanted. The whole time was like, what do we want from Lex?
He better be beat down.
He better be in the suit.
Yeah. And it was another good use of slow-mo action choreography, like fight choreography. Whoever is doing that is doing a great job.
Yeah. I actually posted on our Instagram some of the wire work from last week.
I saw that.
That was
kind of cool.
Yeah. I've somehow stumbled across most of like the stunt people. And those are always the cool guys to follow because they like to show that shit all the time for behind the scenes stuff. And I think it's always a venturing or something like that. It's the Supergirl stunt double. And, you know, she was talking about being in the Red Daughter suit and showing some of the wire work from behind the scenes. And yeah, it's definitely nice to see how they pull this stuff off and just like the technique and just how crazy it looks. You know, in real life, even when you see the wires, you're still like amazed by it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can see in the thing that you did post to our Instagram, you can see the poise with which she just gracefully glides underneath Melissa Benoist on the wire. She just like is like posing. She looks like a freaking dancer. Just. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely something to watch. And I love those things. I always love that. And just in movies and everything in general, going to the extras and seeing some of the behind the scenes footage. And so I'm always glad when our shows show that stuff.
Yeah. I guess let's just get to the weirdest thing. The most like surprising thing. I think this episode.
Million guesses. Would you have ever come up with this?
No, God, no. So at the end of the episode, it looks like we got a glimpse at next season's conflict. I don't want to call it or them or they or whatever it is or isn't. I don't know. I don't want to call it an enemy yet. You know what I mean? Because we don't know if it's one person or if it's like a virus sort of thing or if it's some sort of weird psychic connection thing or like what. We don't know what it is. All we know is it is Leviathan. And from everything, every version of stories, you know, involving Leviathan, it is a mass, a group of people or beings or whatever. And sometimes it's like an infection almost, you know, of people. And other times it's not. I don't know. We don't have a lot to go off of here. But turns out Eve Tessmacher was not ever in love with Lex. She was never obsessed with him. She put herself in front of him and acted like a little puppy dog and became his pawn and did everything else that she did to comply with Leviathan because they wanted Lex to complete some sort of purpose and then he failed and...
Might have been the most confusing thing ever.
It was...
Right? I mean, did you expect anything like this?
No.
Nope.
This was the one, I think, like, the one shocking, like, blindsiding moment. And I think it was the one, like, positive, oh, well, I didn't know that was going to happen, or I was hoping they wouldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I'm always so confused about what Eve is at this point.
Yeah.
because, you know, we see clones, we see these weird robotic things. I'd almost accept her being a Brainiac at this point.
A Brainiac.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many different things that they've done with her this season. You're just like, I'm so confused. So now you're part of this other organization now?
But you're like running from them? Just, I don't
know. Yeah, she's part of it against her will because she was like begging them to let her go.
Why is she so important? Why is she so special?
Are we getting Talia?
That'd be cool.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, because we're treading into Batman territory now.
Yeah, with Batwoman, and apparently she's involved in the whole thing.
I mean, I don't know. You know, every time you think for sure it's going to be something involving another character and another, like, lore, I guess, or whatever, because it's kind of more in a different character's territory. Sometimes they just bring it over. And so, like, we could speculate all day long and be like, yeah, we're getting Batman now, but.
Well, yeah. And at least in this world, they've acknowledged it, you know, previously, you know, making jokes about Superman running into Batman.
And here's the thing, too. So we know we're getting Leviathan. We don't know if it's involved with the League of Assassins. We don't. Not for sure. Not for certain.
They could just be pulling something else.
Right.
As they do.
Because those people looked up real creepy-like. And, yeah, I don't know. It seems more likely that we're getting Leviathan, like, League of Assassins thing. And yeah, Talia leading it. But at the same time, Talia wasn't really important in Arrow. You know, she had a kind of a bit part. So are they bringing that actress over and doing that? You know, I mean, I know that this is a different Earth and everything, but is she going to get her day? I don't know.
Let's start with this. Is this something that'll get you excited about next season? Let's take this, for example, and then the other Martian showing up. I'm drawing a blank right now.
John's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those things that are going to get you excited about next season?
I was more excited about the John's brother.
Samesies. I was like, oh, shit.
And it might just be because I'm not that knowledgeable on Leviathan and all that crap. It could have just been that. But I mean, I don't even know that much about Martian Manhunter outside of this show. But I was still more excited for that one.
Because at least that one, we see some real drama coming out of it.
Yeah.
And a formidable opponent. I don't care who you've been trained by. Like, even if this is part of, you know, the league or an offshoot of it.
Yeah.
I don't see them actually being a threat towards Supergirl.
No. Mm-mm. Honestly, no. And that's why I'm like, maybe it's going to be different. Maybe it's going to be a different thing.
Maybe it's like going to connect. Maybe they're going to go after Lena or some shit.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I have so many questions and not enough answers. And
they're all confusing questions.
They're all confusing questions. Loaded with more questions.
Yeah, it's questions with sub-questions that have no answers. This isn't an ABC thing for us.
Yeah. So Lex had this whole plan. He had another catalyst missile thing, satellite, whatever. He was going to blow up Argus. Argus? Argo. Whatever. Listen. Too many things are too close to each other. He was going to blow up Argo.
Find a different name.
Maybe they have an offshoot faction of Argus there. We don't know,
yeah.
Right? Whatever. Maybe Superman, bro. Whatever. Anyway.
Where they hide people.
It was a nice way to address how come Superman isn't dealing with his archenemy. And what are we going to do? You know, what would Lex do if Superman were to come back? And, well, there you go. He had a plan for it. It served his purpose. It was fine. It was good.
So okay, let's think. Eve was so pissed off about the power, right? And using half the power to kill Superman.
Right.
Is that what they're after? They want to power the world?
Well, there has to be some reason.
Like
for
connection,
that.
Right? Yeah.
There has to be some reason, because if she was pissed off, it's because she was running because Lex failed. So she didn't complete her task. So they're not letting her go. They're going to keep finding her. And yeah, there's some connection there, definitely, but we don't know what. But he was, yeah, just farming energy from aliens. And it's a whole weird, there's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of questions, a lot of things. It feels like they packed so much into this episode.
Yeah. And I think that's where I think all three of us are struggling with right now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. We made Matrix batteries out of aliens.
Yeah.
And the power of the world.
And Dreamer and Jean, you know, were stuck there and they were like, get to work. But like, they didn't address anything about, what are you doing? Why are you working?
I thought you were batteries.
What are you doing? Yeah. And then, you know, they do their little breakout stuff and Brainy gets snapped out of his braininess, his robotic, weird, crappy jerk face mode.
Again, he was probably the most enjoyable character out of this for me.
Yeah, me too. Jesse Rath is like, he is phenomenal at just switching between those two.
Code switching. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about this episode and a lot of like mixed feelings and stuff. On the one hand, I was happy to have Brainy back. On the other hand, I was like, this is probably the one thing that I was hoping would carry into the next season. Just because
it was too quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it makes for unique situations with the characters.
Well, that, and there was never any, again, explanation.
And they didn't
to
really
anybody.
Address it. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like he was doing his thing the whole time. I've already captured them. And then, why are you guys so mad? You know, and like the acting was perfect. And you're right. They could have carried that on halfway through the season until they figured out how to really reboot him.
Right. And I think the thing that bothered me the most about it was that he was acting like that. And then seeing Dreamer and Jean, you know, give up their basically their life energy almost to stop this missile. And it snapped him out of his jerk mode. And it ended with him just being like, and I love you. And like, yay, I wanted to be excited about Brainy telling Dreamer that he loved her. And she just like slumped down because they did it. They succeeded. And like kind of smiled at him and was like, oh, my God, he loves me. But like,
he said he loves me. I can forget that he sent me to this fucking place.
Yeah, I can forget that he abandoned me and was completely cold and used me as like a bait pawn. No, she's a strong woman and she doesn't take crap from anyone.
I mean, right before that, she had like decked him, though.
Still. I'd still be pissed. You did not have a guarantee. I don't care about your calculations. Do what's right. Or at least talk with me and say, listen, I think it would work out if, like, I think our best shot is if you stay here. Stay here. Let them take you there. You know what I mean? Instead of just being like, on second thought, I'm not releasing you. You're a prisoner. Like, what? Screw you, man. I would not be. Ooh. Ugh. Maybe I just hold a grudge. I don't know. But
if somebody acted like that in real life, you'd be like, you're not on your meds right now, are you?
Yeah.
I can tell when you're off your meds.
Like, I would not forgive him at that moment. And I'd actually be pissed that that's when he chose to tell me that he loved me. Like, but, excuse me?
But I love you.
You got to say like, I'm sorry first. Like,
but I love you.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you is not
question
like
mark?
A little like excuse slip.
It's not the get out of jail free card.
Yeah. No. So I'm pissed that we're glossing over it, you know, because obviously the focus will now be on like Brainy and Dreamer are very much in love
and they're so cute together,
especially because they showed up kind of like arm in arm to the traditional end of the season family game night. So that bothered me. That bothered me a lot because I just feel like there could have and should have been more conflict there. And I'm not one for more conflict between characters in these shows. But
when
in
it
this
makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a feeling there will be a little bit of like conflict next season.
What if he kind of sizzles back to jerky brainy?
He just shorts out every once in a while.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, not again.
Johnny Five is alive.
I would forgive everything if that happened. I would forgive everything. And I'd be like, all right, fine. Storytelling. Here we go.
So he basically turns into one of the Agent of Liberty or Jimmy, where he kind of shorts out every once in a while. Eyes go black. Just a different version of it. Then they have to figure out how to fix him.
Right.
Basically.
So, all right. Overall, the story with Lex, his whole big plan, how things all ended up. Were you satisfied? Did you feel like it was a good arc for Lex?
I was shocked that they killed him at the end.
But did you believe that he was dead?
No, I never believe that he's dead. I'm like, you don't ever believe, like, you knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was, I wish they would have used him more. And I think
more than like three episodes.
Yeah, but
yeah,
but even I think, like we talked about a little bit earlier, bringing him back, you know, having him interwoven it within the last episode and different editing job, I think I would have felt a lot different about what was going on. To actually focus around him being the puppet master while these things were happening, I think would have made this story so much bigger.
Yeah.
Or even if, you know, there was power problems before the Kasnians came in and blew up, you know, the power plant and Lex saved the world that way. It was just so rushed.
Yeah. It's like they just skipped over stuff that could have given more depth to the story.
Wow, that just seems to be a pattern for shows this year.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what we missed out on, was that, you know, maybe make Lex a savior halfway through the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we figure out, like, what was going on.
We gotta figure out how to, like, dethrone him.
Yeah, what his play was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it kind of makes sense that he wants power. He wants the admiration.
Oh, it totally makes sense. He's always hated Superman for being the golden boy.
So I bought the motive. I just didn't buy the execution.
Yeah. Totally. I thought it was too easy to kill Lex, you know, like that so soon. I feel like I know better in some of these season finales, too, where I'm just like, no, they didn't give that character enough of a send-off. They're not dead.
Nobody's dead.
Yeah.
Not dead until you see them in the ground. And even right. then.
And even then, Sarah Lance. All right, Bob, this is your time. This is absolutely your time. Red Sun is one of your favorite stories, and
well, that's his thoughts in a nutshell.
All right, moving on from Red Daughter, Children of Liberty now. No, yeah, but just tell me how you're feeling. How you doing, bud? How you doing?
I really thought she's gonna end up just being friends with her buddy in Russia there, her little kid friend.
Yeah, what was the point? What was the point of
they didn't
Mikhail
talk about him at all. Didn't show him again.
I like it was the conclusion. She's like, you know, for her to go off and just be like, I just want to be a normal person like Kara is, kind of, you know, go back to Russia and deal with these things. But, you know, it's like, oh, cool. She sacrificed herself. And I don't know what else I expected. You know, Elseworlds stories are always easy to judge off of because they can do whatever the fuck they want, you know, and that's what Red Sun is. And so they don't have to worry about canon or, you know, multiple supers being in an area at one time. I don't know. I thought they played off the name and that was it.
I think I'm not upset about Red Daughter kind of going back into Supergirl, since she was just like a separation of part of Supergirl's being, basically. Uh-huh. But I'm upset that she didn't get to fight with Kara, you know, post realization of betrayal.
Just like a two-on-one on Lex?
Yeah.
That would've been nice.
How freaking cool would that have been?
But then we wouldn't have gotten the whole revealed Alina. And honestly, I could have revealed Alina. I think it would have been a better end if it was Red Daughter and Supergirl taking him down.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And it just like...
Hey, how are we going to give her this purple lightning stuff? We'll combine them again. Oh, okay. Now she has purple lightning, Edward eyes, or whatever we're going to call it.
Purple laser beams.
Yeah.
Laser beam eyes.
I got to say, it was a disappointing end to Red Daughter. It really was.
I think it was a disappointing use of Red Daughter.
Yep.
Same. Honestly, like for me, and again, I try not to be a YouTube comment on that. I think I can do everything better.
But this is how I would have shot, written, and directed this show.
Yes. But storyline wise, man, if she somehow would have been, Kara would have been locked up this whole time by Lex, and Red Daughter would have taken her place, and then they like find out that this is happening and they get her to escape, and they play that side of it almost like Flashpoint Superman was, you know, where Superman was locked away this whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and they had her in like a lead box somewhere in Russia, and this Red Daughter had taken over her life. And then found out that, look, these people really care. These people are real. What Lex was telling me is a bunch of bullshit. You know, and slowly figured it out through the season, and then they get out together or some way and fight on together. I just think it would have been a way better story. Like, or just like a shocker of at some point in the season, we find out that that's not Kara, that's fucking Red Daughter.
Yeah.
It just would have been like, holy shit, she'd been doing this shit this whole time.
That would have been so much better than what we got.
What happened? Yeah.
And again, I feel like it's just this time of what we do. There's so many people that think they can write so much better. And so I hate when I make these comments like this, like, you know, people want to listen to a review of a show, not what we think we can do better than the people that are actually doing it.
Right.
I just think it's a missed opportunity for them there, that, you know, you have this iconic character that looks, acts just like, you know, our lead, and having her take over in some kind of weird role reversal, or, you know, Lex's plan of how to bait Supergirl into, you know, being this villain or something. I think it just would have worked better. You know, it wasn't what I expected out of Red Son.
Yeah, or
Red Daughter, as we will call it now.
I agree with you. All right, so Lena. We all knew that Lex was going to be the one to tell her. Because why could it work out well enough that Supergirl would tell Lena first, so that when Lex told her, she'd be like, "For once, you don't have the leg up on me."
And then then shoot him? Pew,
pew, pew. Yeah. I already know, you little bitch. Pow.
Would have been so much better. Because I'm actually not excited for the drama that's clearly going to happen next season.
So this is where I got lost in it. Was I hated that it was like when he goes to click the thing and we're seeing like these weird camera angles that obviously aren't security footage of her doing things.
Like, that is clearly just footage from last episode.
It was just like, I thought if they were going to do it, they could have been smarter about it and shot it from like different angles when she's burning stuff and everything else. It just seemed really weird that it's like, oh, who was filming that from the ground up?
Yeah. You got a point.
I don't like the way this is going to turn out. I don't want her being angry or bad. Like, I feel like she should just be part of the team. And I thought there's a bit of me that hopes that she's going to take this well, just based on the game scene, you know, to where she's like, oh, we're family, you know, and then seeing that Lex was all about family and that she has this family with these people and that maybe hopefully she's understanding. But I just don't know how I would feel if I was the only one in a group of people that hung out all the time that didn't know something major.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, she also, after the game night, she was drinking and crushed that picture. So it's clear that she's not taking it well. And I mean, you could see it. You could kind of see it on her face, though, even in the game scene. Like, she walked in and she just felt so out of place and like she didn't belong.
All of these people. Look at these liars.
These motherfuckers.
They don't even like me.
Yeah. She's going through that right now. So as much as I would love to be hopeful that she will be understanding, I don't think she's going to be. And it's going to be a whole big old drama next season. But I am curious to know how it's going to come to a head.
Yo, John, remember when you erased Alex's mind? Can you do that shit to Lena real quick?
Yeah.
Can you do that one more time?
She's fucking mad.
Just that, like, one memory.
That
just
one
like
memory.
Lex telling her.
Telling her. Shooting
Let
him.
Me be the one
Everything
to tell
else
her first.
Is cool.
Yeah. Can you just replace that with just she shot him and that's it?
Yeah.
He just died instantly and she was like, fuck yeah. And walked away.
Martian Manhunter would be my worst best friend. Like, I'd be the guy that he would want the phone calls from.
Yeah, right.
He'd be like, oh, shit, I did it again. John, what you doing right now?
John.
What the fuck did you do, Bobby? I just need your, it's just one little thing.
Just one quick
You said that
mind
last
wipe.
Time, Bobby.
This is it. This is it.
In and out. 15 minutes. In and out. Just 15 minutes.
Well, you also told me that last time.
What will it take? We can go to dinner after. Just the whole barter system with him. He's like, I really didn't mean to say it this time, but she's really mad at me.
Yeah. God, Lena's going to spiral. She is stewing.
I don't want it. So I don't. She's such a good character.
I don't want it. She's a great character, and I don't want this to break her.
And the sad thing is, for 4 years, we're like, oh, she's going to go full fucking Luther one of these times. We know it. She's going to be bad.
And then now when we're it's like, an actual possibility,
yeah,
we're like,
now it's
please
a possibility.
Don't.
We're like, no, that's dumb. Don't do that.
No, it's stupid. It's stupid. You're stupid. And like, Kara wants to tell her, but is she actually going to do it? And like, is this is the one thing that Kara's kind of a coward about.
God.
She's totally a coward about telling Lena because she knows it's probably going to end her friendship at least for a while. Stop being such a little weenie.
She was so ready to tell her, though, at game night. And then Alex had to go. And
she was ready to tell her on that goddamn airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Lena was like, I can't trust anyone who's kept a secret from me ever.
In her office.
For any reason.
Yeah.
Look, you're a little unreasonable. So,
yeah. And at least if you tell them in front of like all the friends and family, you know, quote unquote family, it might go off a little better.
Right.
Hey, I just got something to tell you. We've went all through this together. I've kept this a secret from you because of A, B, and C and you're Luther. but now I know you're
A, B, C and also Luther.
Yeah. Now that I know that you're technically on our side because we fought together and take off the glasses and then. You know, cool down her glass with her breath. Be like, your drink looks a little warm. Oh my God, you're Supergirl and my drink is chilled. Thank you.
Hey, it would be instant forgiveness if she did that and then chilled my wine for me. Just, like, oh, okay, we're good then.
Just something.
Yeah, man, if only. If only. That's my biggest disappointment, I think, in this season finale.
Well, other than the fact that it was pretty predictable, at least for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like that specifically, I don't want that. That's like my biggest, that's my one thing that I'm like, do not give me Lena, Kara drama. We're done with that. We squashed
We've
the
already
beef.
Had that.
Yeah, we did it. We've been there. We done. We squashed that. We're good. Move forward. And don't drag Lena down.
Yeah, don't drag Lena down. Don't put Kara and Jimmy in those weird ass situations because they both work for her.
And don't make Lena confront Supergirl, confront Kara about it. because I cannot stand Kara's face when she knows she's wrong and she's trying to like meekly defend herself. She becomes this little spineless like, yeah, but and she like moves her face a bunch and I'm like, yeah, stop it. Own up to it. Be an adult.
That little like not even like a actual lip quiver. It's. Yeah, it's like a shrugging. I don't know how to describe those lip movements.
It's like a yep. weird, like...
But you know you're picturing it right now.
Yes, we're all picturing it, and we're all going, she's lying.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. No more Kara lip quiver thing. Lip
shrugging.
Weird movement thing.
Spasms. Please stop.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get into our final thoughts on this season.
Against Supergirl. All right? Test run against Supergirl.
Are we just supposed to pretend like we don't hear him?
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Is the UK's second most common STI. The number of cases of the new antibiotic-resistant strain is slowly on the rise.
Yeah, I like how like we're being attacked by measles, polio, and now a super gonorrhea strain.
I'm not even gonna
how can we weaponize this and give it to AOC, Jenny McCarthy, and Kim Jong-un?
I will infect an entire nation. We will defeat North Korea by giving them gonorrhea.
Thomas, I think you're the perfect soldier. You're the like the STI Rambo because you like men and women. You could just...
Leave me behind enemy lines.
Yeah, we'll just drop you there with no condoms. I'm like, get to it.
You are our Captain America.
You're our gonorrhea soldier.
This mission, should I choose to accept it?
Our super gonorrhea soldier.
Jesus.
It's time to send in our super soldier, everybody. You guys remember Vietnam? Yeah. We're gonna do it all over again, but with gonorrhea this time. Send Thomas in. He needs air support over. Find all the loosest sluts in downtown Phoenix and bring them on board the airplane.
I'm going to need a bottle of Viagra, 6 cases of Gatorade.
What about the Navy SEALs, sir? What about the Navy SEALs? No. We need Trixie, Cindy, and Lola from around the corner. Thomas is the general. He will lead the charge with the STI invasion. Sir, they don't have gonorrhea. Thomas!
Yeah.
We need you to go ahead and infect these whores, ladies, soldiers! We have just found our inside man.
Mr. President, it would be my honor.
To be inside men.
To do it all.
I gotta make sure you're fully prepared. Whip the deck out. I wanna make sure there's some discharge there. Come on. It's not gay. Let me touch it.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
I've never been a fan of Superman because I was never a fan of that overpowered character.
Well, I'll shoot you then. Nope, I'm bulletproof. Well, then I'll cut you. Can't.
You don't need an entire 3-episode arc to give characters closure. There's little things that they're doing to give us that finale-ishness. That's not even a word, but I just made it.
That's so cool, like, just to get that insight.
And I think that's what makes this movie special for me.
Right.
Is that we have the Batman I grew up with, the Joker I grew up with.
We shot him when we go to cons because he will chase after actors like, and no, not if you're representing the show. If you're representing the show, do not chase after these people, please.
Exactly.
Catch up on your favorite Rayman Digital Geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rayman Channel 001. Listen from the Rayman Digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
Two episodes and 5 billion months of time has passed since the beginning of this season.
And just when we thought a season couldn't get any longer than last season, we almost matched it.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with ranking. Where does this season fall for you? With the other ones, I guess. I rank them 1 through 4. Nicole.
I don't even remember what I ranked the previous seasons.
Me either.
But this one would probably be like in third place. Maybe.
I won't even give it third.
You're just like last fucking place. Fuck this.
I don't remember being this disappointed with even the ending of last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm writing it on. First season, it was struggle at the beginning, but it got real strong at the end. Second season was good. World Killers, it was all right, but I didn't hate the ending. This one was just weird. And I don't know if it was because they were tackling like real subjects and a lot of it was too close to what's going on in the real world with the hate of people.
Or like the 10 million breaks.
Well, that too.
That's my issue.
Biggest issue I have.
Because you're right, it's hard to get momentum when we had so many damn breaks. Because, yeah, you know, it's like, the Oscars are on. Well, we're not going to have a show this week.
I basically forgot what happened in the first 10 episodes because,
honestly,
I just don't remember.
I think we had a lot of that this year. It's one of those things that I think just me and Lauren talked a little bit about it on Legends last week about just the format of TV has to change and that there's nothing wrong with shorter, more concise seasons that, especially when people are running year round anyways, there's no off TV season anymore. There's summer shows and there's fall shows. I just don't think we have to go so long.
Kill the fluff. Cut it out,
please.
You know, and I think that's what we're missing with a bunch of the stories. And then again, with the long drawn out stories followed by 6 week break here, 4 week break here. Okay, a week on, week off, week on, week off. And that's not me joking. That's pretty much close to what we did this year.
It's hard to care coming back after 4 weeks.
And you wonder why the ratings are falling.
Yeah. And it's it's especially too because it's not like a mid-season break where you ended on a big cliffhanger and all right, we got a break for 4 weeks and when we come back, something crazy is going to happen. Like, it's not like that. It's like, oh, we had 2 episodes and now we're on a break again for 4 weeks. Okay, well, what the hell happened in those last 2 episodes? What happened before that? But when we had 6 weeks in between those episodes, like, it's so hard to keep caring. Yeah, because you don't remember everything. These shows don't need to be this long. If we have, and honestly,
just make it like Netflix, a solid like 13 episodes. You're good.
Well, that's what we were talking about on Legends. I was talking about Lucifer and how Netflix like resurrected that show. They bought it out and they made the new season of Lucifer. It's 10 episodes long. And each episode is great. I think it's 10. Yeah. Each episode just drives the story forward. It stays the course. You know, a pace is kept. And every episode, you know, you have something new. And then, you know, something's continuing. And like, great. Awesome. You constantly feel like you're moving forward in the story. And it's... I don't know. I think that's so lost on TV now. They feel like they have to stay on the air for X amount of weeks out of the year because that's how they stay relevant. But when people lose interest in your show, you're losing relevance. When you have too much fluff and you're not really sticking with the story, people stop caring. And that does more damage to your show than only being on for 10 to 13 weeks out of the year. Even 16 episodes. Lose 6 episodes of the season. Do a Legends, like, length. I'm good with that. I honestly feel like Arrow's final season might be kind of... I don't know if it'll be great, but it'll at least be concise and to the point, I think. Because they're like, we're wrapping it up. 10 episodes. Done. It's frustrating. We don't need all these episodes if it's going to conflict with stuff and we have to wait, you know, 2 episodes, break for 2 weeks. 2 episodes, break for 4 weeks. 3 episodes, break. I cannot.
We'll wait until it hits Netflix if it keeps doing that.
I can't keep the same momentum.
Well, and I think that's what, honestly, I think that's what happens. And,
sorry.
You're right.
I think that was the mosquito. I don't think I got it though. Go on.
There was a, talking with Mike, just, you know, behind the scenes about our show, is that most of our downloads pick up because people want to watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because of the breaks.
They pick up in the summer.
So he says, right? It's always weird for these shows. Yeah. That our shows never stop getting downloaded way further down the line than most of the other shows on the network. And he believes it's because of, you know, the inconsistency of the shows and the fact that everybody waits to binge them on Netflix. And then they go look for content about who's talking about what. And so that's when, like, a majority of our shows, like I said, we can get consistent downloads because people are just fed up with the schedule or just don't know. And then they wait, you know, until the week after, week or two after, whatever it is. So it's a weird thing. And it's something they definitely need to address just by watching the ratings. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I'm one of those people when it comes to Arrow and Flash now, you know, now that I'm just not really a host on those shows anymore. I haven't been for the past couple of years now. And I don't know why. And it's such a hassle for me to even watch these shows sometimes, you know, because I have to either watch them with a billion commercials on my, like, computer on the CW's, you know, website, or find some other way to watch them. Because I don't have cable, and I'm not subscribing to cable just for CW.
Yeah.
Sorry. Love you guys, but nah.
Nah, fam.
Yeah. And it just takes... I was watching Supergirl, and a commercial got stuck in a loop.
I've had that happen.
So I watched the same commercial 5 times and then went, oh my God, what is happening? And I reloaded and just... Man, I hate advertisements. I hate commercials. Hate them. And so it's a bummer. I would gladly pay the CW, like, I don't know, $7 a month or something to get all of their shows and no commercials. I would do that. Or like one long commercial at the beginning.
Yeah. Do the
down with that.
The pre and the post.
Yeah. I'm good with it. Or like one commercial right in the middle. Like one, like, kind of a longer, not a 10-second guy, maybe like a 45-second or like a minute long commercial or something like that, right in the middle. Take $7 from me each month. Let me stream those shows. And I'll take a commercial or two, but not like every 10 minutes throughout the episode. It's frustrating. And when you've got breaks like that and stuff, it's just, oh boy, you're really making it difficult for me to want to go out of my way to watch all of the shows in a timely manner. So I started Flash and Arrow. I got up to the crossover and then I went, okay, bye-bye. I'll see you when you're over. I'll watch you on Netflix. So I really think that they have to firm it down. So, all right, let's reel back a little bit. Let's get more positive. Let's get some good vibes going on in here. What was your favorite stuff this season? What are some of your favorite moments?
Lex. I am very pleased with John Cryer's performance overall.
I want to say, like, yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
We were ready to hate it. We were ready to be like...
We were like...
We turned into the internet real quick when that casting happened.
We did.
Yeah, we need to stop that shit.
Yeah, because even when we started posting pictures and everything, you know, it was like, oh my God, Alan killed his mother. You know, those are the comments that we were getting. And I think if you go back to listen to those shows, one of the things that I said, there was a reason this man got paid $1 million an episode for 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
And it's not because he just got lucky.
He damn good at what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he even tweeted out that thanking like all the fans for giving him a chance and how much he enjoyed being able to do this. Even he thought he was a little bit of an oddball choice for the role, but he was very honored to do it. Just want to say thank you, man. Dude, awesome. Can we have you back next season?
Well, it's looking that
way.
Can
we have zombie Lex? I'd be fine with this.
I think he'll be regular Lex, but we don't know. So,
Jesus,
I call anyone who's come back from the dead zombie, even if they actually have
just like a white
brain
walker
function.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
That's fine. Can we just Jon Snow your ass? Can we do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was my most favorite surprise of the season was discovering that John Cryer was a great Lex.
Right?
Surprise.
Between that and the emergence of Brainy as like our favorite character.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. You're right. You're right. I don't know how we forgot that.
That would have been my second one.
Yeah. I mean, that's right up there.
Like immediately.
And Dreamer turning into a grown-up hero.
A hero, and not just because she is trans.
And
it wasn't forced. Like I was vocal about that. I was feared that it was going to be shoved down our throat. You know, that this was more of a political thing for outside the show, and they really didn't use it that way.
They really didn't. It got brought up, I think, 3 times. Once when she first started working at Catco, once when she was
interviewed,
and once when she was talking with Kara, bonding with her around the time that Kara told her that she was Supergirl, when they went to like go visit her mom and stuff, and her mom died. It's only come up when it's been a relevant portion of like, hi, these are my experiences. This is a big part of who I am. And that's it. Other than that, it's not like, well, as a trans woman, I really like Rosé. Like, you know what I mean? I hate Scrabble as a trans woman.
Yeah. As a trans woman, bathrooms are confusing for me.
Yeah. There has been no other commentary on it because it's not important. I mean, it's a big part of who she is. And I don't mean it's not important in like a who gives a shit sort of way, but also kind of who gives a shit. She's a great human. She's a woman. And that's all there is to it. Like, done.
Yeah,
that's it.
And
I appreciate how they handled it, because I think that's how, to me anyway, I think that's how people should handle people who are transitioning.
Yeah, just treat them
have
like
transitioned.
Normal people.
Oh, cool.
And treat them with respect.
That's
all you gotta do.
Pretty sure that's how we all treat people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, wow, you were born scientifically male. That must have been an interesting and challenging thing to discover, you know, about yourself and realize that things weren't right. And wow, you came through it on the other side. You're a woman now. Good for you. Like you're like physically a woman now. You must feel more at home. I'm happy for you.
Happy for you. Kudos.
So moving
on. Let's go get lunch.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to order? It's not a big deal. I just don't. Yeah. So I mean, I don't think it should be. I don't know why it is to some people, but I'm glad that they handled it that way, because it really made it feel so much more natural. And maybe people who are a little more like, this seems weird to me, I hope that it made it felt more natural to them that way.
Mm-hmm.
It got brought up when it was relevant and when it was an important part of her character arc a couple times. And that was basically it.
Yeah. And then I think that's how it always just has to work out. I mean, that's how reality is. you know, between, you know, so some of our gay friends and stuff like that. It's not like it's thrown at us all the time or whatever. It's like, whatever, dude, I don't care. Let's go. Are you hungry? You're hungry. I'm hungry. We both eat. Let's go.
Hungry. Let's go. Yeah. And I mean, I know that it's a concern when you start bringing social things like that into a show, but I mean, we kind of should have known, you know, they handled Alex so well and her coming out and being a gay woman and stuff like that. I mean, they don't even say the word gay on Supergirl anymore. They don't even say the word lesbian ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not an important aspect of Alex's character outside of it being a part of who she is. It's not what defines her as a character. It's like, I date women. Okay, great. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was, this season was really good for developing the newer characters.
Yeah.
Brainy was a total surprise.
We got to put Brainy in that category as newer characters.
Oh, yeah, because he came in last season and was a side character, and now he's, like, officially a part of the team.
Because you got to think about it. We're like, oh, my God, this is the fucker that's going to replace Wynn.
Mm-hmm. And now here we are. We're like, Brainy, no, don't be cold and robotic. You got to tell Dreama you love her.
be more human, you robot.
Yeah.
And then I was super excited when he walked by after Alex and... Fuck, I forgot.
Kelly.
Kelly kissed and was just like, we saw nothing. Just look at us. We're on our way to our date. He was cute.
I'm proud of Alex because she just like swooped in there and she was like, aw, you're babbling.
Aw, you're adorable. Like, come here.
Yeah. It wasn't like a whole thing. Kelly was like, I don't want to make things awkward. I'm sorry. Here are my feelings. And that is all. And Alex was just like, sweet.
Come here, baby.
Yeah. So that was cool. Also, called it. We called it.
We called that from day fucking one.
They
made eyes at each other and both of us were like, that's a thing.
Big on bone. Yeah. And like, we often are not shippers in this studio of characters in these shows, but I totally ship Dreamer and Brainy, and I know you guys do too. And I'm totally.
And I was very pleased.
Very happy with how much we like them and how much they work well together because they're just cute. Just cute. And it doesn't disrupt team stuff. It doesn't disrupt the story. It's just cute and fun and they work and they have their little weird fights and like weird, like, I don't think this is going to work. Maybe? It's nice. It's just a fun thing to watch.
It's okay to make things enjoyable.
Yeah. So with all this being said, we got to have a season MVP. I got to say, my thoughts are Brainy. Because Dreamer's great, but we didn't outright hate her when she first showed up. We were like, oh, she's kind of awkward. I don't know how this is going to go. And then we were like, oh, yeah, she's growing up. She's getting more comfortable. Like, great, cool. It was not the 180 that like, God damn it. Dolphin face is replacing Wynn.
Sparkly guy.
Yeah. Glitter robot dolphin is replacing Brainy. I mean, I'm replacing Wynn. Oh, God. Oh, God. Why? And right out of the gate, they kind of poked fun at the mistakes that they made with the character last season. And they did a total turnaround with him. And now he is one of our most favorite characters on the show. My vote for MVP goes to Brainy.
Hey, Bobby, what's yours?
You can go.
No, you go.
I honestly it would have been Lex if it was on longer.
Because I think if we had Lex more episodes.
If he's more episodes, it would have been weird to vote an MVP of the season as a villain. Because normally these things go to our good guys.
Right.
But he was so strong as a character. But I have to agree. The Brainy character was the thing that kept making me want to watch the show.
Yeah.
That I always focused when he was on the screen. So I think he did a lot to change, you know, whether it was the writing, the acting, or listening to the internet and get rid of dolphin skin. A lot has changed about him that I, again, if I was the time travel and go back and tell myself and be like, you're going to like Brainy. I'd be like, you're a dumbass. Where'd you come from?
He's going to be your favorite character.
You're an idiot. You didn't come from the future.
Bullshit.
Troll. Troll in the dungeon.
So, yeah, no, my vote goes for Brainy.
Okay, well, I was going to say Dreamer, but...
You
like,
can do
honestly,
it. You can vote for whoever you want.
Well, honestly, it was kind of like... cheer-tatorship.
Well, like, it was a toss-up between Dreamer and Brainy. I called them Drainy. Oh, my God, that's their ship name.
It's a weird name, but hey.
Dreamer. I think I like Drainy more.
Drainy's better.
Even though it's still weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of a toss-up between the two for me. They're just both really great. They both were developed really well over this season.
Mm-hmm.
Overall. So that's why it's hard for me to choose. I have to choose one. It would have to go to Brainy just because of the fact that he started out so on the wrong foot with us.
He sucked. Man, he sucked so much. He sucked. He straight up sucked.
And then when he rebooted, it was like immediately, oh God, I hate you again.
But like a different hate.
Yeah,
like
a different
like
kind
a
of
love
hate.
To hate sort of like, no, yeah. don't ruin all the things that you've done.
Yeah.
Concern for his character rather than, ugh, get off the screen, you idiot.
Exactly.
Don't reboot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd also have to say Brainy.
Yeah, I think a turnaround like that for a character on a TV show over the course of a season, that does not come easily. They put some serious thought and effort into that. And I think the writers, and I forgot his name, the actor.
Jesse Rath?
Jesse Rath. Thank you. Jesse Rath and the writers really, really deserve some serious credit, and the showrunners, for turning that character around and turning him from someone that we just cringed at to someone that we're like, oh, Brainy, we love you. He has actually made a good replacement for Wynn. I can't believe I'm saying that. But it's made me forget that I miss Wynn while the show's on, you know? It's made me forget that I was so heartbroken that Wynn was going away. And where were we going to get that quirky little character, you know? And we have Brainy now, and he's filling those shoes really well. Maybe next season Lex can win it.
Or Dreamer. He ain't going to be around long enough.
I don't think so. Yeah, no.
Unless we get Zombie Lex.
Zombie Lex.
I vote for Zombie Lex.
Anything else you guys want to mention? Any honorable mentions other than Dreamer and Lex for characters this season? Or
The fandom doesn't even have a ship name for them. I'm looking at the fandom, actual fandom page where the ships and slashes are normally.
Oh, damn.
They're the closest. They have Winniac 5 for Win and Brainiac. But no.
What? Stop it.
Nope, stop.
You know what? I have to give a shout out, an honorable mention to Sam Witwer or Ben Lockwood. That character was really dynamic. He's such a great actor. I think this is the first role I've actually like watched him on screen portraying.
A little different than the video game.
Yeah, a little different than video games. And if you want more Sam Witwer, play Days Gone, because that game is super rad and I can't play it because I'm a total weenie, but I watched my boyfriend play it and he beat it and it's a good story. So, woo! I can't deal with zombie hordes. It's like one of my phobias. I don't know. It sounds so stupid because it's never going to fucking happen.
Yeah,
but
just like me getting chased by a group of clowns.
Yeah. But here we are. These are our fears. But yeah, God, he was so good. So, so good. So seriously, an honorable mention to him. But I think we expected to like him. Oh.
Okay, Siri.
Is Siri was answering?
She's like, I'm not sure I understand why you like him.
Huh.
Have you not seen the guy?
So my Apple Watch, somehow, I guess I pressed a button while moving my hand. And Siri heard, seriously, an honorable mention to him. To which she responded, I'm not sure I understand, which I understand your confusion. That's not a complete thought. So, all righty. Well, I think that's going to do it, right, guys?
Yeah.
I think I think Siri is playing us off the stage, and we are wrapping things up on the final episode of DC on RMD Supergirl Edition for this season 4. You can catch our past and future episodes on dconrmd.com and, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, all that goodness. Keep up with us on social media, please. We do, you know, post things throughout the year. Everything is at DC on RMD. Facebook, if you're following us there, it's been facebook.com/DCOnCW. We'll get that changed when Facebook decides once again that we're not Nazis. We'll see you next season. Goodbye for now.
People want cuddles.